All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, is Bruce Gunther, my co-host. Bruce, how are you doing?
Good tonight. Good evening, everybody.
All righty. Well, I'm excited. Playoffs this week, right? So let's maybe touch on that a little bit here quickly. So we were just chatting before the show here, ESPN League that we are both in. Bruce, good week for you, right?
Yeah, good week. I pulled out a win in mine, so I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, you were what top of the league again this week, making everybody look silly.
Yeah, I managed to crawl ahead of you by here at the end of the week. So
that's good. I'm happy. So yeah, you're on to the semifinals. I managed to eke one out as well, and so I am on to the semifinals. So it should be good. Should be a fun week. Absolutely. In our Yahoo League. Bruce, you're continuing your conquest of the best of the worst.
Battle of the basement, you bet.
Okay, good. And then I myself managed to just kind of, again, squeak one out in the semifinal in the Yahoo League. So I am on to the final, which for me is a surprise because I think last year I missed the draft. I had auto-drafted somehow and didn't do very well. And then this year I actually drafted my team and it's looked okay. So with that, we want to kind of get into, we want to talk some hockey from this past week because there was a few things that went on that it kind of just have been interesting to talk about, right? We've got the first thing I wanted to get into was the Oilers this week and their two-game series against the Montreal Canadiens. Connor McDavid, right? He had that one goal where he split the D and put the Oilers up 2-1. You know, he just continuously shows he's the best player in the game right now. And he does things like that on a nightly basis, right?
He just finds a way. Like he was bogged down for like the first two periods of that game. And then in the third period, he just found another gear and they just couldn't stop him. Like it's amazing.
No, he's incredible to watch. Frustrating, I guess, is the officiating, right? And I don't want to be a guy that kind of rips on the officials all the time, but there's been a lot of inconsistency in the league this year, right? And it's been a real hot button issue with a lot of teams, a lot of players. And case in point was this week with the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, I think it was game two they played on the Wednesday night. Nugent Hopkins got absolutely obliterated in the corner by Shea Weber. Shea Weber was allowed to basically walk around in that game and do whatever he wanted, right? How many times did he cross-check Dreisaitl?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so he clobbers Nugent Hopkins in the corner, and then I think it was later on in the game, the Oilers are on the power play, and Dreisaitl had clean hit Edmondson in the corner, but apparently that was considered interference, right? It was a heartbeat too late, and he goes to the box. And so I just find it frustrating to watch because it seems like the players don't know what a call is, the officials, there's so much inconsistency, and I just don't know what the answer is, right?
Yeah, I don't either. So after the whole Tim Peel thing, right? So everyone's been watching it more and more, and that game was under a microscope too, right? Because they were laying the lumber to the Oilers players, and as soon as the Oilers player would try to get a bit of a tap back or whatever, it was an instant penalty. So they weren't calling the first one, but every time the Oilers retaliated, they seemed to get a penalty.
And so what are your thoughts? Like the NBA and the NFL have changed their tune and they're really focusing on protecting their star players, right? Like, helmet to helmet contact in the NFL. They're really concerned about protecting guys like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Russell Wilson, all those guys. That's a focus for them, right? Because that's the draw for the fans.
Yeah. And some of those games, they've gone to a ridiculous amount of, there was a couple of games there where they were making calls and it's like, you look on the replays, he wasn't even close to hitting the guy. Right. But if it was close in the NFL, they call it, right.
Yeah.
And they're pretty happy to let Shea Weber and granted Weber is a hell of a player, but still it's laying the lumber to McDavid and Dreisaitl like that. That's just,
Leon Dreisaitl is a Hart Trophy winner. It's old school hockey. Leon Dreisaitl is a Hart Trophy winner. He's a guy that puts up 50 goals and 100 points every year, basically. And you'd think you get a little bit more respect than that, right?
You think. It's reminded me a lot of the series when they played Anaheim. It was at the conference semifinal three years ago.
That was like, 2017.
Yeah. So when Anaheim did the same thing to him, right? They were just anything they could do to try and hit him or knock him down. That's what they did, right? So they know what this is like. So it's just frustrating for them because now when they tried to get onto that level, they got called every time, it would seem.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, not much we can do about it. I just wanted to mention it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was worth talking about. You know, I'd be curious to know what, if there's any listeners out there, what are your thoughts? You know, if anything can be done, if it's something that has to be, it has to change at the top, I think, right? You've got guys at player safety that just kind of have to take a good hard look at it and say, we're either going to call things that are penalties or we're going to manage the game, right?
Yeah.
And I think if the players know, you know, ahead of time what the deal is, they're going to be a little better off. But
yeah, and I think in that second one, that was more game management than it was anything, right? So
yeah,
if
exactly.
Edmonton gets a win there, Montreal is pretty much down and out right for the playoffs. So
yeah,
with the Montreal win, they're still in it, right? So
that's a great point.
Take you can take from it, right? So
no, that's a great point. I think that's probably why the game was called the way that it was, right? Because when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, the NHL is concerned about, you know, revenue, right? They're hockey related revenue, and Montreal is one of the biggest hockey markets in the league. So for them, if they can give those guys a bit of a nudge towards the playoffs, I think they're going to do it.
Yeah. On it, then it's still a 3-way race for fourth place, right? So you've got Montreal, Calgary, and even still Vancouver's not out of it yet. They can still
they're not mathematically eliminated. So yeah.
They've got enough games in hand that they can still cause some trouble if out there, right? So it's
well, and if Braden Holtby keeps playing the way he was this week, they might have a shot, right?
Yeah.
That's another one. Did you see that windmill save he made?
Oh yeah. Someone had posted, is that Dominik Hasek? It's like that's what it looked like. It looked like Hasek was reborn in that game because it sure looked like from the replay I saw, it went off the paddle and off his pads and out. And his pads were all the way up in the air. He was on his back. So
that was incredible. Yeah. I haven't seen a save like that in a long, long time. If ever, maybe, right?
Yeah. But those two games against Toronto, they played some inspired hockey. I didn't watch the first one, but I watched the second one. And the Leafs were dominant in the first period. And then, it was in the last game, the game was close, and every period the Canucks got more and more confident. In the third period, it was just Canucks. There wasn't a whole lot the Leafs could do. The Leafs couldn't get a stop.
Yeah.
Holtby was stopping the chances on their end, but when they got down to the other end, Campbell wasn't equal to the task, and that's kind of why Toronto lost both those games.
Yeah, it seems like after Campbell had that streak, right, where it was 10 or 11 games straight, and then since then, it's just been a carousel of goalies, right?
Yeah.
So I think they'll probably be happy when they have Freddie Anderson back in goal there.
I think so.
All right. Well, with that, I guess the other point I want to talk about here from this past week was Jacob Veranda's 4-goal performance against the Dallas Stars. Did you see that one coming? Because I didn't. I mean, I thought he'd be okay, but...
And that was the first game, too, where they were without Dylan Larkin, too. So that was even more impressive that he did that without Larkin. And, too, I did him checking. 15 minutes of ice time he did that in.
That's incredible.
Like 15 minutes, 6 shots on goal and 15 minutes of ice time, he scored 4 goals.
I think he's out efficient. To prove a point. Yeah, that's incredible.
And Dallas isn't exactly an easy team. They've got a good defense there, too. So that's not an easy task. So it's
Dallas is in a position where they're fighting for a playoff spot too, right? So like it's not like they just laid down, like they're trying to get into the playoffs themselves.
No, exactly. That was
so from a fantasy perspective, like what are your thoughts? I mean, Jacob Vrana for next season, like someone that guys should be looking at heading into their drafts. I don't know where he goes. I don't know where he went this year. But with a performance like that and what looks like he's going to have the opportunity to play in the top 6 and the top power play, like where do you kind of see him going?
I still think he's going to be a later round pick in a draft. You got Tyler Bertuzzi, who's not coming back this season, but he was on a tear just before his injury too. So I think if you're looking at Detroit, Larkin will be the first one to go. Bertuzzi will probably be the second, and Verana will be the third one to go, but it'll be later rounds for Verana.
All right, good stuff. Kirill Kaprizov, did you see his goal against LA?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, holy
between his legs and around the D-man, and what a goal.
He made it look absolutely easy. I would have been trying to skate, let alone anything else, and he just made that look so easy.
Yeah, no, he's a lot of fun to watch. He's actually made Minnesota fun to watch again, which is
absolutely.
I never saw it. That said, I would say right, I, or thought I would say yeah. because they're not usually a fun team to watch.
No, the Wild, in most of their history, has never been a fun team to watch. But he said last week, he's breathed some brand new life into that franchise there.
Absolutely,
I think a lot of their success this year is him and Talbot, right? So it's
yep. Yeah, and good for Talbot, right? I think you and I both were Talbot fans when he was here in Edmonton and even in Calgary. Absolutely. We're not Calgary guys, but good to see him have some success there.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the Kaprizov, we'll get back into him a little bit later on. I think that's probably what we'll finish the show off, because we're going to talk about the quest for the Calder, him and Jason Robertson, because that's another seems to be a hotly debated issue.
It's a great debate.
Yeah, no, it is. So I'm excited. We'll get back into that in a little bit. The Boston Bruins lost to the Buffalo Sabres on Friday. Sam Reinhart had a hat trick and 7 shots on goal. And damn it, I think I had dropped him, right before that game, because I was trying to improve my plus minus in our Yahoo league, which, you know, it's a Cats league.
Yeah.
And I looked, he was minus 25, right? Like that guy, he's going. Anyway, so I just said, okay, well, I got to try and find somebody who can help me improve my plus minus. And of course, that would be the day he goes off and has a hat trick and an assist, I think, too. But
I think he's been on a bit of a mission this season when Eichel going out, because he's kind of had the knock that he could only produce when he was lined up with Eichel, right, on that first line. Yeah. And he's like, I did a little bit of checking. So in the past month, he's just under a point per game this past month. Well, he's doing well. Good. So, yeah.
Yep. Well, I did manage to pick him back up again in Yahoo, because nobody else did. So, he's looked good, and they're playing out the string, but I think there's some guys that are still playing for next year, and they want to be in the coach's good graces.
Yeah. Well, their play since the trade deadline has improved dramatically. Another one, Dahlin has been one of the best scoring defenders since the trade deadline, if I remember correctly from something I read. So,
yeah, I was just going to say, Dahlin's looked much, much better post-trade deadline. Next bit of news here from the week was the Nashville Predators. They took 4 points from the Chicago Blackhawks, and they take a 4-point hold on the final playoff spot. Now, I think, did they play again since I last made that note?
I think they played one more time. So when I checked this evening, they had... they are 5 points up on the Hawks. Hawks have 1 game in hand, and they were 2 points up on Dallas, and Dallas has 2 games in hand.
Yeah.
So it's going to be close there too.
Yeah, it's coming right down to the wire. And it looks like for the Dallas Stars, Tyler Seguin might be back as early as Monday. So that's something to keep an eye on if he's still available in your league somehow, right? If nobody scooped him up.
Be worth
or if you did, grab him off your IR, because he might be coming back here soon.
You bet.
All right. So the next thing I wanted to talk about a little bit, like as we're kind of moving through the fantasy hockey playoffs here, some tools that I use myself. Bruce, you probably got your own tools you look at, but scheduling becomes such an important part of the fantasy hockey playoffs. You know, you have to be looking at who's playing the most games, right? Because someone playing 2 games versus 4 can be the difference between you moving on and not. And so for me, there's 3 that I kind of use. I use the Dauber Hockey Frozen Tool scheduling tool. I use the ESPN Hockey or ESPN Fantasy Forecaster, has always been a favorite of mine. And the third one, actually, it's called Zero Games Above Replacement. So if you go to zerogamesabovereplacement.com, they've got a tool on there. It's called Weekly Off Nights. And on that tool, it's going to give you a score for each team's schedule, their score relative to their competition. And it actually shows you who is tired, who is home, who's away, and which games are off nights. It's a really cool tool. If you haven't checked it out, be sure to go check those guys out. So zerogamesabovereplacement.com. Bruce, I don't know if you're familiar with that tool or not. I just learned about it a couple weeks ago, and it's pretty neat. So yeah, give that a shot if you're still in your fantasy hockey playoffs and you're kind of wondering who you should be looking at for waiver wire pickups. And I guess with that, like, is there anything, Bruce, that you look at when you're trying to plan for the week ahead?
I pretty much stick within in the ESPN and Yahoo, they have their own calendar and their own scheduling in there. I pretty much stick to that. So
that served you okay to this point. So I don't know if you have to venture too far from that.
Yeah, sift through the player stats and just move the categories around, and that's how I've generally been doing it.
All right. So with that, I guess we're going to move on to the injury report for the week. A guy actually, Bruce, this just happened on Saturday. Mike Smith went down in practice, and I don't know. Did you see the highlight? Did you watch that video clip that Ryan Rashog had put out from TSN?
No, I didn't see it.
I don't know exactly what happened, but they cut to Mike Smith walking up the tunnel, and he was in quite a bit of distress. It looked concerning. Enough that Rashog posted it, and I was concerned about the Oilers losing Mike Smith for the immediate future. So I guess Dave Tippett had said something afterwards that he's okay. So fingers crossed, there's nothing serious there. But if you are a Mike Smith owner, something to keep an eye on. You may want to look at Mikko Koskinen. I hate to say it, but that might be a handcuff you want to look at here short term.
I am a Mike Smith owner.
Yeah. So I think he's okay, like I said, but just something to monitor heading into the playoffs here. And actually, I'm just wondering, how many games are the Oilers playing this week? I think they have three this week.
Three or four. I think it was four.
Three or four. It looks like they have four. They play Monday at the Jets, and then, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday in Calgary, and then Saturday against Calgary. So big week for the Oilers. I mean, there's going to be one back-to-back there where Mikko Koskinen is probably going to play anyway.
Yeah.
So moving on, I guess we had mentioned Tyler Seguin. So he's coming off off-season hip surgery, and he'll be traveling with the Dallas Stars this week. Eli Tolvanen actually came back from injury on, I think it was Friday, but he's back now, and he's actually got 2 points in his first two games. So I scooped him up here recently, I think today, actually, this morning. But if he's still out there, definitely give him a look. He's only 13.6% owned in ESPN and 18% owned in Yahoo.
Yeah. He was close to a point per game before his injury, and he's just picked right up from where he left off and just continued on.
Well, and related to that is Philip Forsberg is still out, right? And we don't really have any clear indication as to when he's coming back. You know, we keep hearing from the GM there, that David Poile, that, you know, he looks like he'll play next week. We don't actually know what's going on. So, I mean, I've got him on my IR. I'm sure a lot of owners are just frustrated. Yeah. Right. I mean, and he was a big time producer too before he went down, but so fingers crossed. The other big one this week was Carey Price from the Canadiens. He's going to miss about a week here. So Jake Allen was a guy that if you need goaltender help, I mean, definitely worth an ad in the short term. They did have, was it Caden Primo? I think was, I don't know the guy, but he played here recently because they had a back to back. But in the short term, I would definitely look at Jake Allen, because that team from Montreal, they're competitive, right? And they're in a playoff spot. And Jake Allen's actually played pretty well this year.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little worried about Price. Like this last one, I think it was a concussion, but he's been inconsistent as of late too. And it's
His numbers this year, I think Jake Allen is actually been a little bit better in terms of save percentage, right?
Yeah.
And it looked like it was a fairly innocent play. Like, you know, Chase on basically just grazed his helmet in front of the net, and I mean, the goal was called back, right? It was goaltender interference, but it just looked like Chiasson grazed him, and it kind of tweaked his neck. So they say a week, but we've kind of seen this before, right? Where they say Carey Price will be back in a few days or a week, and then sometimes it's turned into 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So if you're a Carey Price owner, you're definitely concerned.
Yeah. A lot of it will depend, I think, on how well Allen plays. If Allen plays well in this week while Price is out, they're not going to rush Price back, especially if they're, depending on too where they are in the playoff race, if they're a little more comfortable in the playoff race, he may not come back as quickly as if they're could be on their way out of it. So that's something to watch too.
Yep, definitely. All right. I guess Linus Ullmark, he's week to week now with a lower body injury. And considering there's just 3 weeks left in Buffalo's campaign, it seems unlikely that he's going to be back before the end of the season. He had played really well this year on a team that didn't have much go right for them this year. He was actually kind of a bright spot. I don't know how many guys actually had him. I never had Ullmark at any point in the season, but...
No, I didn't either.
If you did, me too, just before, right? Just for save percentage.
Well, just before his last injury here, he was playing really, really well. So the team as a whole was playing better too. And then with his injury, he went down and then they brought in Dustin Tatarski, who's had a bit of a career resurgence here in Ullmark's absence. So he seems to have made the most of it so far.
Yeah, he's looked pretty good actually recently.
And he made star of the week for the NHL for last week, I think it was.
That's so funny to think because, you know, they just recently they came off there. How many games did they lose in a row there, Bruce?
18, I think.
Yeah, so pretty impressive stuff from those guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, Chris Drieger was day-to-day with the lower body injury, but it sounds he played recently, did he not?
He played last night and they won. They beat the Hurricanes.
Yeah, there you go. A big one here, so I think you have Dylan Larkin, right? He's done for the season now with an upper body injury.
Yeah, he took a pretty nasty cross-check to the head from Jamie Benn, and that's, I think, what took him out for the season. If you watch it on the replay, it's nasty. It's right below the helmet. He just right at the back of the head. So,
well, and Jamie Benn's been known to do stuff like that from time to time, right? Like you respect some of the good things he can do in the game, but he also plays with an edge, and he's not afraid to do some things like that every once in a while.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that's possibly a concussion too, depending on where, or whiplash, depending on where on the neck, back of the neck, he actually made contact, but it didn't look pretty from the replay anyway.
Well, that's unfortunate for the Red Wings anyway. Evgeny Malkin was skating this week in a non-contact jersey. You know, the last thing we'd really heard was that was last Tuesday, and we haven't really been given any update as to where he's at. So, I mean, Kasperi Kapanen came back. Hopefully Malkin will be back soon, but we don't know at this point.
Yeah, Kapanen's so back. For that. He barely cracked the third line, so, and they've been playing really well too. So it's...
Well, today, big win, a 1-0 shutout over Boston, right? I think Pittsburgh's picking up steam, right? They're one of those teams that year after year, they're always in the playoff mix. And sometimes there's been seasons where you think they're out of it and all of a sudden they've won the cup, right? So when you've got Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. Well, and you've seen a change in their play since Hextall and Berkey took over in the GM and assistant GM or
president and right? Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
So they go out and they get Jeff Carter too, right? So they throw Carter into the mix, and they've been playing great. They've been getting good goaltending, and Carter's gotten a few points here too since he was brought over. So
yeah, we got to talk about that for a minute. So John, if you're listening, our buddy John Enns was giving us a hard time about our Jeff Carter recommendation, but he looked okay in his first week in Pittsburgh, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to bring up his, I didn't do this before. I was just going to bring up his player profile. So he's at like 3 points in his last six games.
So not too bad.
Not too bad. He's centering the second line.
Yeah, I noticed he's actually playing with Jared McCann and Jason Zucker, who, like, those are two good young players. Jared McCann, I've got him in ESPN, Actually, I've got him in both leagues, and he's played really, really well here down the stretch.
Yeah. And they got... go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, so moving on from Pittsburgh, we've got Mikko Rantanen was the other guy that I wanted to talk about. He went into COVID protocol this week, and it sounds like he was going to join the... join the Avs later in their road trip. So it sounds like Wednesday was mentioned as a target date for him. You know, hopefully he comes back soon. That's going to be a big boost for a lot of teams if you're a Mikko Rantanen owner.
Yeah, for sure. It's Burakovsky's done a pretty good job there subbing in for him, but you bring Rantanen back and it just adds to their depth, right? And they're scary already as it is. It's... Yep. They put Burakovsky in there, and it's like they haven't even lost the beat. They're just continuing to chug right along. So,
well, and that's a good segue for the next segment here that we're going to get into is waiver wire ads for the semifinals or for the finals, wherever you're at in your league. So Andrei Burakovsky, like you said, he's come in and filled in nicely for Rantanen, and he's done that right in the last two seasons. Yeah. If there's been an injury, he's jumped up and down the line. So right now he is getting that top line and power play one opportunity. He had two goals against St. Louis on Thursday, and they have four games next week, St. Louis, Vegas, and two games against San Jose. So Bruce, sounds like, I was going to ask you if you're buying or selling, but it sounds like you're buying on Andrei Burakovsky for next week.
As long as Rantanen is out, absolutely. Cause yeah, he had two goals in the first game against St. Louis and two assists in the second game against St. Louis. So it's...
Yeah, I would agree.
He's fitting in well.
Absolutely, yeah. And he's only 34% owned in ESPN. So
yeah,
and 31% in Yahoo. So he's out there, right? Yeah. There's plenty of cases where he should be available.
You bet.
Okay, the next one I had on my list here was Connor Brown from the Ottawa Senators. He's dual eligible, so left wing, right wing. 37% owned in ESPN, 21% owned in Yahoo. Since April 1st, he's come in. He's got 12 points in 11 games.
Yeah, I went back a month. So you go back, beginning of April, late March. He's been a point per game player for. It's hard to believe he's not owned more in leagues. Like it's.
I think it's just first of all, it's probably the Ottawa Senators, right? I mean, that's not a team right now that you're flocking to.
yeah.
And just, I guess, the name value. Like, there's not a lot of name value there for Connor Brown. But
no, it's...
You know, one word of caution I would say is his shooting percentage is unsustainable, though, at 32.3%. So his career average is actually 12.1. And the league average, I think, is 9.5%. So something to think about there. Like, he's not going to keep scoring goals at the same clip that he has been.
No, probably.
But he's getting the ice time, right? He's, you know, 18 and a half minutes a game, basically. And he's actually getting some exposure on the second power play. The other thing, if you're in a Cats league, he's 52% in the dot. So a little bit, he's not a centerman, but when he does take draws, he could get you a few extra faceoff wins every game. So Bruce, are you buying or selling on Connor Brown?
I'm buying until he goes cold. It's, he's been consistently putting up points here for the past month. Do you need a fill in for an injury? He's the guy to add, I think. I'm not too concerned about his plus minus that in Ottawa. Ottawa's gonna create a mess in the North Division here yet before the end of the season. They're gonna play some teams really tough, and he's gonna be a part of it.
I would 100% agree. I'm going to jump down our list a little bit here just since we're on the Ottawa Senators and talk about Matt Murray. 11.3% owned ESPN, 22% owned in Yahoo. He did pick up a shutout win against the Vancouver Canucks on Thursday with a total of 31 saves. He's got two shutouts in his last three starts. You know, it looks more and more like he could actually be a serviceable option down the stretch.
Yeah.
However, he just left the game on Saturday with... lower body injury, and it looks like he's day-to-day. So something to keep an eye on because I think they've got four games next week, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
So,
and like I said before, Ottawa's going to play some... I think they play Toronto and Montreal, I think, this week. So those are going to be tough games for...
Yeah, it looks like Vancouver twice, actually, and Montreal. Vancouver, they've only got, so my apologies, there's only three games and two of them are against Vancouver, but they've played Vancouver well, right, this yeah, last few
very
games.
Well.
So, yeah, if he's healthy, if he's good to go, I think that's an option. But Bruce, what about you? Are you buying or selling?
I think when he's healthy, I'm buying. If I need help with need goaltending help, I don't have any trouble putting him in there. They play these teams really tough, so it's not. Yeah, I don't have any trouble.
Alrighty. I guess while we're on goaltenders, we'll jump back to Jake Allen. So we talked with him already, but he's 21.5% owned in ESPN, 38% owned in Yahoo. Internal replacement option for Carey Price. He did pick up that win against the Oilers on Wednesday, and he did look pretty good until the few final minutes of that game. But they've got, looks like four games this week here, if I'm not incorrect. Let's take a look. Yeah, so they've got Calgary, Toronto, Winnipeg, and a game against Ottawa. So, I like Jake Allen if he's playing well and if he's healthy and if Montreal's playing well in front of him. But Bruce, are you buying or selling on this guy?
I think I'm buying with him too. Montreal's another team; they're fighting for a playoff spot here too. So I think going into that, they're going to play these four teams. These are going to be four really close games. I don't think you're going to see a blowout in any of these four. They're going to be close games. And I don't have any trouble adding Allen in and starting him if you need goaltending help.
Alrighty. Moving on. The next one I had was Nick Foligno from the Toronto Maple Leafs. He is dual eligible, left wing, right wing, 31% owned in ESPN, 33% owned in Yahoo. He made his debut on Thursday versus the Jets. He had one assist. He was a plus one. He had one shot on goal and three hits. He did play on a line with Matthews and Marner, and he's generally been a player that provides some category coverage with hits and pims and a bit of offense as well. And I think playing on that line with those two players, you know, that's about as good a line placement as you can ask for, really. We saw earlier in the year that a guy like Alex Galchenyuk, who's been struggling, actually was making some progress and putting up some points, right? So what are your thoughts there, Bruce? Are you buying or selling on Nick Foligno?
I think as long as Foligno's playing with Marner and Matthews, I think you have to keep him in your lineup. He's like you said, he's got good category coverage, but when he's got access to Marner and Matthews, I think you have to.
Alrighty. That was kind of what was on my list here, Bruce. So do you have some other waiver wire ads you want to get into here?
No, I didn't have anything to add to your list there.
Alrighty. So the next thing we wanted to talk about here is the quest for the Calder. So Kirill Kaprizov versus Jason Robertson. I should say Kirill Kaprizov of the Minnesota Wild versus Jason Robertson of the Dallas Stars, for anyone who has not been paying attention. So I guess I'm just going to go through a few highlights here for each player, Bruce, and then we can have a bit of a discussion here. And then I kind of want to hear your thoughts as to who you think is going to win the Calder, Kaprizov or Robertson. So Kaprizov, he had 13 points in 13 games during the month of April so far. He's clipping along at a 3.6 points per 60 pace. Something to note, 9 power play points, just 4 of those points have been even strength. Shooting percentage is at 23.8%, so I'm expecting some regression. I mean, for elite talent, 23% may be sustainable for a short period of time, right? We've seen that from guys like Leon Draisaitl and Sidney Crosby at certain times, Patrick Kane, right? But in my mind, it's just not something that's going to last. He is getting opportunity, though, because his average time on ice is 18 minutes a game, and he's getting 322 on the power play. His individual points percentage is actually, it's 76.5. So that's just a good indication that he's actually driving offense while he's on the ice, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a percentage of his share of goals, of points, while he's on the ice, right? So anything above 70% is pretty much expected at the NHL level. Elite players can put something above 75%. So if he's at 76.5, he's doing a pretty good job. His Corsi 4 percentage is only at 46.8, so he is kind of losing that battle a little bit, although it doesn't seem to be impacting his offense too much. And just of note, he's got 4 games against St. Louis this week. So, I mean, Bruce, I guess before we start the debate on that, like, what are your thoughts on Kaprizov so far this year? Like, what have you liked? What have you not liked? What have you noticed?
Basically, he's becoming a rookie highlight reel. Basically, you watched the goal he scored the other night against Los Angeles. It was just, like I said earlier before the podcast, he just makes it look easy. Like, it's he has brought the Wild out of irrelevance. Basically, they were a very boring team to watch. They weren't sure. They were kind of, are we going to make the playoffs? Are we not going to make the playoffs? Type thing. Between him and having Talbot and that there, it's been their two big highlights this year, right? They've always had a good defense, but on offense they were always pretty mundane and pretty boring. And Kaprizov has lit a fire under that team and just grabbed him and just gone with it. It's been the little bit that I've seen. It's been fun to watch.
Well, no doubt he's an interesting player to watch. What I find really interesting is that the lineup placement, like his line mates, right? He's playing with Victor Rask, I think is his center, and he's got Zuccarello as his right wing.
Yeah.
So to me, this is a guy that he's really driving the offense on that line. It's even more impressive to me when you kind of look at who he's playing with 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Now I guess saying that, like I will, he's putting up a lot of points on the power play, right? If I go back and if I look on the season, I think he's putting up a lot of points on the man advantage versus even strength. And I'm just going to pull those numbers up here quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, the only note I had like on his goals, so he has 22 goals, 8 are on the power play. I didn't put his total points, though. Let me just take a quick
I just want to take a look at this. So he's got, 41 points in 47 games played. But 11 power play points. I mean, he's getting opportunity, right? He's playing 3.5 minutes basically on the power play. Yeah. And I guess that's I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but he's on a 72 point pace for 82 games played. So he's been impressive to watch this year, right? And I think his shooting percentage is actually only at 17.3% on the season. So a number that's a little bit more sustainable than what we've seen from some other players.
Yeah.
Okay, quickly moving on to Jason Robertson here. So he's got 15 points in 13 games during the month of April. Kind of the flip side of it is he only has one power play point. So he's got 14 even strength points in the month of April, and he's a plus 11. I mean, this is a kid, he's a rookie, right? He's, to me, that's quite impressive. He's putting up 14 even strength points in the month of April and over a point per game, right?
Yeah, he's making the most of his opportunity, right? Because Dallas has had all kinds of injury issues. Like Sagan's just coming back now. Rupi Hintz is kind of like their, it's almost a joke now. Is he going to play or isn't he going to play? He's been a game time decision since the beginning of the season, right? So
yeah,
he really hasn't had consistent line mates, and he's still putting up, like, I think he's, what is he, 2 or 3 points behind Kirill now for the rookie points lead. So he's hanging right in there, right? So
yeah, I should pull up his numbers here quickly. So again, 37 points in 42 games played this year. He's only got 4 power play points in the year. 4. And he's only getting 2 minutes and 20 seconds on the power play, and he's only averaging 16.5 minutes a game. Like, he's obviously played more than that, as the season's worn on, but over the course of the season, 16.5 minutes. Like, he's getting second line minutes. I will say he has got some pretty impressive line mates though, right? He's playing at even strength with Rupe Hintz and Joe Pavelski. I've seen at times he's played with, Dennis Gurianov. Like, he's playing with a little bit more talent, I think, at even strength than Kirill Kaprizov is, right?
Yeah. I would say with the likes of Pavelski and, so here they've got showing him with Hintz and Pavelski, right? So that's two good line mates, right? So,
that's probably boosting his position a little bit. Like, I think he's being sheltered a little bit, right? And Kaprizov, I think, is kind of just, he's the guy, right, in Minnesota. Oh, yeah, right now.
Kaprizov is driving the bus for Minnesota. There's no doubt about that. He's the guy.
Just a couple extra notes here on Robertson. So his ice time, like I said, it was on the season's about 16 and a half minutes, but he's actually of late, he's up to about 18. Power play time on ice, he's only about 2 minutes, like I said. Individual points percentage, he's only at 68. His Corsi 4, though, is at 56. Corsi 4 percentage, 56, and he's got four games this week. Carolina twice, Tampa and Nashville. So he's looked really good. He's come on of late here, and he's kind of made that it's an actual debate now, right, as to whether or not Kaprizov should be the clear-cut winner.
Yeah, he's
and making, I guess you and I are, sorry, go ahead.
He's making a name for who should be, right? So yeah. And you and I both watched the Jackie Redmond did her little Feisty Friday on the two of these guys, comparing them, but their plus minus, their goals and stuff like that. Like he has put himself in the race. I don't know if he's going to be able to, if he's going to be able to eclipse Kaprizov, but he's sure making a hell of a run for it. So
I found that thing she did on NHL Network was really interesting. And so I think what she had pointed out was basically that Jason Robertson is actually now producing at a higher clip on the season, points per 60 than Kaprizov is, slightly, but he is ahead of him now in points per 60. And what I found really interesting was goal team differential for goals scored, right? So when you looked at it, Kaprizov, when he was on the ice, the team was plus 9 in team goal differential. When he was off the ice, the team was plus 9. So, looking at it that way, he's not really, if he's on or off the ice, he's not making a huge impact on the team's goal differential, right? Whereas then she went and showed you Jason Robertson, and it was plus 18, I think, when he was on the ice, and then it was minus 3 when he was off it.
Plus 15 on the ice, minus 3 off. So it was an 18 point difference.
Yeah, like it is massive, right? Yeah. So I mean, to me, that's really telling. Like this kid's he's had a real impact on the game for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
He's doing it all at even strength.
Yeah.
He's getting less ice time, less power play time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. The one stat that blew me away. Sorry,
go ahead.
The one stat that blew me away out of our whole presentation was they said since March 1st, only Connor McDavid and Terry Panarin have had more even strength points than Robertson since March 1st. That blew my mind when I read that. And then she goes, where's Kaprizov? He was 80th on that list because he's getting a number of points on the power play, right? It's just amazing that he would be that high up. Like that's some pretty rare error there when you're up there with Panarin and McDavid. So that's
very impressive. He's doing
well for him.
I guess, if we're going through and we're picking our guy for the Calder, I got to say for me, it's got to be Jason Robertson. I have a lot of respect for what he's done at even strength. Like you said, as many points in March, his analytics look good. I don't know, not taking anything away from Kirill Kaprizov because he's had a phenomenal year and he's making the best of his opportunity. Like he can't fault a guy for he's done enough to get all that extra ice time, right? So I can't fault him for that. But just what Robertson's doing with his more limited ice time is impressive to me. And some of these other numbers are just incredible to look at. So
I think what's going to happen is you look at the stats and stuff like that, and Robertson definitely has the advantage there. But if you look at the overall, so what is those two players done for their team? Dallas was expected to contend this year again. Minnesota wasn't. Kaprizov has basically put them in playoff contention. Like, I don't know if single-handedly, but he's reinvigorated the team. So as much as the stats show that Robertson is probably so far a little bit a better player, I think Kaprizov has probably done more team-wise than Robertson has done for the Stars.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I can't really argue with that. And I think because he has that pedigree, like it was known coming in that he was going to be an impact player.
Yeah.
And so what he did didn't surprise a lot of people. And I think whether or not Jason Robertson's done enough recently, we'll see. But No, all valid points by you.
It's going to be fun going down to the end, because if both of these guys keep at the pace they're going, it's going to be a dart throw at the end of the season to which one's better. Like, it's
it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
The way they're going right now. It's going to be fun to watch.
I guess so. In terms of, you know, fantasy hockey for next season, just ballpark it for me. Like, I don't even know where these guys are taken. I have to go back and look in the drafts this year. But like, where do you see a guy like Kirill Kaprizov being taken in drafts next year?
Well, this year he kind of went in the middle rounds. He's going to go higher, because
is he a top three round sort of pick, do you think?
I think he'll be just outside that. Okay. I guess it's going to depend on the depth of your league. So whether it's an 8-teamer or a 12-teamer, right? So
yeah,
in a 12-teamer, he could probably sneak in the top, probably in the third round. In an 8-teamer, he'll be a little farther down, but. Fair enough. I think he'll be higher
your league setup too.
Yeah. I think he'll be higher up.
Jason Robertson, you just pointed out some really interesting things with Jason Robertson. Where do you see a guy like him going?
I think he's going to be middle round. I think people are going to be cautious on his second year. So I think he's going to be probably more of a middle round, possibly even a late round for some people. Yep. Until he shows that he's not going to be more than. Let's see what happens, right? So Sagan's coming back, so they think he'll slot in ahead of him and that. So I think they'll be more cautious. There is no one in Minnesota to put ahead of Kaprizov.
No,
so he's gonna
not.
He's gonna be higher up. I think Robertson will be middle to late round, I think, is where you'll see him go.
Yeah, for me, that was one thing. I was really curious to see how Tyler Seguin coming back is gonna impact Jason Robertson's ice time. And that's not even to mention Alexander Radulov.
Yeah.
Right, like, he's kind of the forgotten man there in Dallas too.
Yeah.
So as those guys are coming back, I mean, where does Jason Robertson fit in? He might. He definitely is going to lose some ice time, right? Which.
Yeah.
He's already not. He's not a first line, first power play in terms of ice time. I mean, he's getting that usage, but.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see anyway. So.
Yes.
Okay, I think with that, Bruce, that sort of wraps up our show for the week here. So I guess one thing I'll mention too before we want to hear from the listeners, right? So for anyone listening, what do you guys think? You know, who should win the Calder this year? Are there any other candidates right now? You know, for me, I don't think there is, right, Bruce? It's really a two-horse race.
No, the person that's in third place, I'm not even sure who would be in third place. It's quite a ways behind.
Yeah. But anyway, let us know what you guys think. Hit us up on Twitter or send us an email on the website. I just wanted to mention that we are on all the podcast directories. So wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or you can listen to them on our website. Be sure to subscribe or follow. And we'll be back next week with some more good stuff here. I guess we'll talk about what goes on this week with finals and semifinals, and we'll probably be getting into more of the prep for next season and talking some more general hockey news. But anyway, with that, thanks for everybody for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Take care.